I got a question for you, and it's really for me, but you can listen because you're listening. Why is it so hard to bring people to church? Why is it so hard to bring people to Jesus, to bring the message of Jesus up in conversation, to kind of talk about church? Why is it that that specific area out of our lives, church, Jesus, faith, God, whatever you call it, why is it so awkward to bring that up? Why is it that I have no problem talking about how cold it is to a perfect stranger? I have no problem saying, hey, you want to go grab coffee? I have no problem saying, hey, why don't you come over? We can play some games. We can watch the game. We can have some food, whatever it is. I got no problem bringing people there, inviting people there, talking about the weather, talking about whatever it is. But for some reason, when I want to bring up Jesus, when we want to bring Jesus or church up or say, hey, you should come to church with me, it's like our stomach starts attacking us. Right, you know that feeling? You feel like your stomach is just attacking you, your brain is shutting off, your lips won't open, you get sweaty, and it's like, I don't understand what's happening. For some reason, I'm really, really nervous, really awkward right now. What is it about that? Why is it that we have no problem bringing up any other topic and striking up conversation with friends, family, perfect strangers? But if there's like this inkling, like someone asks, like, are you a Christian? Huh? What did you, can you repeat that? And you're just trying to process, like, what did they just ask me? Or, hey, you pray, right? It's like, what? I define prayer. Like, you're trying anything you can. Why do we go that route? Why is it that we get so nervous when it comes to inviting someone out? Now, we're in week two of a series we started last week called Bring. And I shared last week the start of this series was because I was having conversation with different people and just kind of asking randomly, when's the last time you invited someone to church? And the answers were just kind of this string of I don't knows. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm not really sure. I don't know. Or, hey, when's the last time you talked about Jesus to someone? I don't really know. And it got me thinking, and I started talking with other leaders and other pastors and saying, hey, are you finding this as well? And we're seeing it's this common thing. If you ask someone, when's the last time you invited someone? I don't know seems to be the answer. So I started thinking, as we get going into 2018, we've got to know at least when or at least why not. And today I want to talk about the why not. Why not? Why is it so intimidating to invite someone to church, to bring someone out? And I think it has to do with this feeling. Uncertainty, right? Uncertainty. I think as I was surveying all the emotions, surveying all the responses, and hey, why is it? Why is it? As I was thinking about that, uncertainty was the word that I said, think this is, and I was uncertain about it, but I'm pretty sure uncertainty is the word. Because uncertainty has like this idea to it of, well, I'm a little nervous. I'm not really sure. I mean, you don't know what they're going to say. And I think that's what it is. If you were to invite someone to church, play a scenario in your head. You're to invite someone to church. You're uncertain of a couple things. One, are they going to say yes? That's an uncertainty. So I'm going to invite them. Are they going to say yes? Well, what if they don't say yes and they ask me a hard question? What kind of church is it? How long is it? Do they put the heat on there? You know the answer to that one. Right? How do I navigate this? I mean, what if I bring up Jesus or God at the family party and suddenly it goes like way left, way right, and I wasn't prepared, and they might ask questions that I'm not ready to answer, and how am I going to field that? See, there's all this uncertainty. And what I realized is that uncertainty and Jesus, they go together. I don't know that there's a way around that. See, whether you're a Christian today or you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, so that would mean that you wouldn't say that you're following Jesus, you're trying to be more like Jesus. Today's a step towards Jesus. It's a step in your faith journey. Or you'd say, you know what, I'm a Christ follower. I'm trying to apply the teachings of Jesus and be like Jesus. No matter which you are today, I think that we all know what it's like to be uncertain when it comes to Jesus. Because today, if you would never say you're a Christian, and today you're checking out church, it's your first or second time, or you're coming a little bit, you're still uncertain. It's like, well, I don't know. Should I follow him? What's that going to look like? Am I going to have to give money? Am I going to have to pray? Now he's talking about fasting or reading my Bible. I'm not sure what that means to follow Jesus. There's uncertainty there. And if you're a Christian and you're a Christ follower, if you get nervous when church comes up or you're going to invite someone to church, you're going to talk about God, well, there's uncertainty there too. And so there's all of this uncertainty surrounding Jesus, surrounding the church, surrounding the message of faith. And we got to do something with that uncertainty. Now, here's what I don't want us to do tonight, because you've spent all of your life living with the uncertain feeling. And in 24 minutes, I don't want to take that away from you. In fact, I want you to keep your uncertainty feeling. What I want us to consider today is moving the uncertainty to a different place when it relates to Jesus. So right now, today, you're not a Christian. You wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You're not sure if you should follow Jesus. You're a little uncertain about it. Or today, you're a Christian. You're a Christ follower. But man, if it comes up at the office, you suddenly have to go out for lunch, or I'm not going to really invite them. I don't want people to know and all of that. And so you're a little uncertain. Instead of trying to get rid of the uncertainty, what if we move it to a different spot? So still keep it, but let's move it somewhere else as it relates to Jesus. And here's where I want us to put the uncertainty today. When it comes to the impact that a person will have for Jesus. When it comes to the impact. So right now, you're not sure if they're going to say yes if you invite them. But what if instead of being uncertain about that, you say, you know what? I'm so uncertain of the impact this person's going to have if they come to Jesus. I, you know what? Instead of me being unsure of, are they going to ask a hard question, so I'm not going to bring them out. Instead of, I'm not going to bring up Jesus because I'm not sure how it's going to go. What if it's, you know what, the only thing I'm unsure about, the only thing I'm not certain about is the impact this person's going to have for Jesus. See, it's different. It's putting faith into motion. Because what you're doing there when you move the uncertainty is now you're saying, you know what, I believe this person's going to come to know Jesus. I believe I may be the person to bring them to discover Jesus, to invite them out to church, to talk about God at my job, at Starbucks, with my friends. And because I believe that, the only thing I'm not sure about is the impact that person's going to have. It's going to be massive. I can't even predict what it's going to look like. It's a different place to put your uncertainty. And what that does is it takes away the apprehension and it makes it anticipation. So now it's, hey, you know what? I'm not afraid of what's going to happen here. I'm excited about this because I believe that this person's going to have an impact when they come to know Jesus. And now today, if you're discovering Jesus, so you're not in a place where you're bringing people, you are brought out. Well, today, this applies to you because I have no idea the impact that you're going to have for Jesus, but I believe it's going to be great. I believe that you're going to do tremendous things for Jesus. I believe that Jesus is going to have an incredible impact in your life. We can't even explain it, but I believe it. I believe it's true. And so that's a different place. Now, the question is how. We're going to look at a story of someone who believed this way, and I want you to be inspired by it. I want you to see that when we start leaning into, I can't even think of, I can't imagine the impact this person will have. It's tremendous. In fact, I want to show you that because someone decided that they would live this way and they would be a bringer, you're here today. So you might say, no, I got here by a car. It's out in the parking lot. I just saw a sign. I pulled in. No, I know that's how you drove here. But I think that you are here today because someone decided to be a bringer. A bringer is people who bring people. It's really easy. So a bringer is a person who brings a person. I believe that someone was a bringer, and that's why you're here today. And I'm going to connect the dots for you. But before we do that, it's 2018. We got to use our brains, okay? We're gonna stretch our brains this morning. We're going to do a quiz. All right, you ready for a quiz? Awesome. So you don't have to play along. If you don't want to play, that's fine. There is a prize for you. I even made up a card that says game show on it because I want it to be official. All right, so we have a little game show, and here's what we're going to do. It's real easy, and you don't have to play, but you can, and there's a $5 gift card up here for you. Just saying, it's the Saracopas right there on the traffic circle. But just be warned, they're closed till February 2nd. I tried to go get some tea there. They're just shut down for the January. It's too cold. So in February, you'll get your tea. But if you think one of these names is a disciple, one of the 12 who followed Jesus, you put your hand up and you get a point. Okay, if you're right, if you're wrong, you don't get a point. And then if you don't think it's a disciple, don't raise your hand. If your hand stays down, you get a point. If you put your hand up, we're not going to laugh at you. No one laugh at people. Okay, but you don't get a point. Does that make sense? Okay, now the thing you have to do is you keep track. I can't do math and read off this card, okay? So I'm going to do reading, not arithmetic right now. So, all right, if you think James was one of the 12 disciples, then you can put up your hands. So you can go ahead and play. All right, so I'm going to give a couple seconds. All right, put your hands down. All right, if your hand was up, you got a point. Okay, so awesome. James the disciple, good, keep track. If you think Jerry was a disciple, Come on, it's somewhere in there. First opinions. Jerry, you in there? Nope. No Jerry? Okay, good. You all get a point. All right, so even if you weren't playing, you just got a point. So there you go. It's like, I'm not putting my hand up. Well, you're playing now. All right, you got 1 point. How about David? You think David was one of the 12 disciples? All right? Nope. All right, nope. Good. Not a disciple. So now some of you have 2 points. All right, what about Bart? Anyone think Bart was a disciple? Bart. Bart was a disciple. Helen, all right, Helen threw up there. Okay, I shortened it. It's Bartholomew. I'm a little tricky, okay? So it's Bartholomew. I'm calling him Bart. I can do what I want. I have the mic. All right. So Bart, yes, Bart. Bartholomew was one of them. So if you had the hand up, you get the point on it. How about Drew? Anyone think Drew? Drew? Oh, we got a couple hands. Think Drew, okay. All right, Drew was a disciple. You get a point. Andrew, you see what I'm doing here? Okay. It's like, now I'm catching on. I'm leaving this church. What about Judas? Judas, was it? All right, so that one, I figure everyone's going to get that. Okay, so Judas, keep track of your points. Okay, what about Paul? Paul, one of the 12? One of the 12. Paul was not one of the 12, okay? So that was a little tricky question there. But he was a disciple of Jesus. Just came on later on. He was sleeping when Jesus was around. And then the last one here, Peter. Peter, was Peter one of the 12? Okay, awesome. So does anybody have 8 points? Because that's the most you can get. Anyone? 8 or 7? Who's got 7? 7 in the back. Okay, so Angela, you got a gift card to Sour Copa, okay? And I know you go there a lot, so that works out. See Angela there. Awesome. So here's why I wanted to do that, because sometimes we don't even know some of these disciples, and that's fine. I had to look up stuff. But what I want you to realize and what I believe is that you're here today because of a man named Drew. Drew was one of the disciples. We're going to read Drew's story. See, Drew decided to be a bringer. Instead of being uncertain of what people would think, instead of saying, I'm not sure if I should bring up Jesus because I don't know what they're going to ask me, he said, you know what? I'm not sure of the impact bringing up Jesus is going to have. I'm going to do it. I'm going to invite people. I'm going to bring people. And I want you to see, and I believe, because Drew was a bringer, because he brought someone, it impacted you being here today. Okay, so we're going to read Drew's story. It's found in John chapter 1. John is the fourth book in the New Testament. That's the second half of the Bible. So John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 35 through 37 to get us started. And now, this is a little tricky, because the John that's writing is not the John that we're reading about. Okay, so the John that's writing was one of the disciples of Jesus. He wrote this later in his life as he thought about Jesus. The John he writes about is John the Baptist, not opposite of John the Presbyterian, John the one who baptizes. So he was the baptizer. John happened to be Jesus' cousin. So John the Baptist says, the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, there is the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Now, let me just pause there for a second. This is relevant. Because John is a rabbi, he's got disciples, and Jesus is just coming onto the scene. Jesus doesn't have any disciples yet. No one is following Jesus at this point. And Jesus walks by, and his cousin John sees him and says, look, there's Jesus. There's the Lamb of God. John has a couple disciples who are following him. Very interesting, during this time, rabbis wouldn't really point each other out because technically they're in competing fields. Right? It's like you're trying to get more disciples to take on your teaching, to follow you. It's like, if I can get more disciples, it shows that I'm learned and I'm good and people are following me. Yet John does something very different. John's not about competing because he realizes Jesus is the best. John realizes, and that's his cousin too, so now there's like family stuff. And like, if you're going to try and get bragging rights at Thanksgiving, John totally misplayed. Right? But he's like, no, that's Jesus, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples that he has, they leave him. Hey, we're going to follow that guy then. And I love it because as I was reading some of the cultural background to this, it was very rare that a rabbi would willingly lose disciples with a nice send-off. And yet John, not John the Baptist, John the one writing about this, doesn't record a moment where John the Baptist is like, hey, hold on, you guys are signed up with me. I mean, what are you doing here? You can't just leave and go to him. We're trying to build something. But they recognize Jesus is worth following. They were following someone. They had a rabbi in their life. They had a way of living. But when Jesus showed up, they realized it wasn't the best. And I just want to kind of rabbit trail for a second. Because I want you to consider, as you're starting off this year, what are you living for? Come on, who or what are you following? And naturally we say, well, I'm living for me. That's kind of the tendency, but there's something there. So you're living for relationships, you're living for your career, you're living for comfort, you're living to be famous, to be known, you're living for financial security. There's something or someone that gets you up in the morning. It gets you going. What is it? And then my question is it worth it? Is it the best you could follow? Is it the best that you could live for? John's disciples realized, I mean, we've been hanging out with John for a while now. He's great and baptizes people, eats locusts. I mean, this is cool. Got a lot of honey. But I think there's something better for us out there. And they saw Jesus come. So maybe for you, that's your takeaway for you to consider. Is what I'm living for the best? Or something else? Let's read on. So Jesus looked around and saw them following. What do you want? He asked them. They replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Let me just pause here, because what they're doing is kind of an indirect, polite way of getting an invite. You've done this, right? It's like when you text your friends, hey, what's going on? And you kind of want to get invited over. You kind of want to see, but you don't want to come right out and say it. It's just like, oh, let me indirectly try and see what's going on. That's what's going on here. Hey, Jesus, where are you staying? I mean, just want to know. Don't need to come, but where are you staying? And it was common to use this language. So it's an indirect, polite way. Where are you staying? What they're really saying is, kind of want to follow you. We don't want to hurt your cousin's feelings, but where are you staying? If you tell us, we know it's a green light. And Jesus tells them, come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. Now, here's where I have a problem with John's record keeping. It's this. We don't know what happens between 4 o'clock and the rest of the day. I mean, John, you couldn't tell us what happened there? These two guys leave John the Baptist. They're following Jesus. They find out where he's staying. They go with him. They stay there the rest of the day. But John doesn't write down what happens there. We do know that it's a short time period. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He's pretty exact on the time, but doesn't give us the details of what happened. But what I do know is that something happened. Something happened specifically to Drew, those hours he spent with Jesus, that changed him. Something happened. There was some kind of an impact made when he spent some time with Jesus that made him become a bringer. Because the next thing we read after Drew has that, the first thing, John writes, the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. The first thing. So Andrew and this other guy, they spend time with Jesus. They've been spending time with John the Baptist. Now they spend some time with Jesus. Something happens during that time. They have some kind of an encounter with Jesus. An impact is made, causing Drew to say, hey, you know what? The first thing I'm doing is I'm bringing someone to meet Jesus. This is just way too cool. This impact was way too great. I mean, someone else needs to hear about this. Now, Drew was human like you're human and I'm human. Drew had the same uncertainty. And now he's going to go to his brother. I mean, it doesn't get more awkward than going to a family member. Right? Some of us, I know for me, it's easier for me to invite strangers to come out to church, give them a bracelet, give them a card, say, hey, you come on out because I'm not going to have to see you ever again unless you come out. So here's a card and we call it a day and I brought someone to church. But Drew's like, no, I'm going right to my brother. I mean, my brother's got to hear about this. And he's pretty explicit in the words that he uses. He doesn't just say like, hey, there's a new teacher on the scene. There's this new rabbi. He says back in verse 41, we have found the Messiah. That is the Christ. And what Drew is doing is he knows Jewish history has told him for hundreds of years, even thousands of years, there's been this Messiah that's supposed to show up. There's this anointed one, that's the word Christ, that is coming. And now Drew has the audacity to show up to his brother Simon and say, we found him. We found the guy, the one that we've been reading about for hundreds of years. We've been waiting. We found the guy, and I'm going to bring you to him. I mean, this is great. Could you imagine how that conversation went? Come on, these were humans. Let's bring some human life to this. Simon's like, oh, great. So you, and I don't know, like you, my brother, sure, you're smart. You found the guy that we've been waiting for hundreds of years. You've been following a guy that eats locusts and honey for his whole life. Like that, I'm going to believe you. But he does it. Drew understood, if I'm going to be uncertain about something, I'm going to be uncertain about the fact that Jesus is going to change my brother the way he changed me. If there's something worth being uncertain about, it's not, I'm not sure what Simon's going to think if I tell him, and I'm not sure he's going to hit me with a bunch of questions about scrolls I didn't really read, but we'll try and go there. I'm not going to leave it there. I'm going to be uncertain about the impact because I know Jesus has changed me. I know Jesus is going to change him. And Drew works off of that uncertainty. He brings his brother to Jesus. Look at what happens. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. And you know Peter, everyone's hands went up. It was like, was Peter one of the disciples? Yeah, Peter was one of the disciples. Maybe you didn't know that it was Drew, the brother, who brought Peter to Jesus. You see that? Drew had an encounter with Jesus for something happened between 4 o'clock and the next day. Something happened there that Drew was, I had an encounter with Jesus. He changed my life. The impact was made. And now I've got to bring my brother Simon to see Jesus too. And I'm not going to let fear and uncertainty and apprehension and worry and panic. No, none of that's going to stop me. I'm bringing him to Jesus. He's got to meet Jesus too. Fired him up. It was his fuel. And he brings his brother Simon, and Simon has an encounter, a meeting with Jesus. And Jesus looks at him like, hey, you're going to be Peter. He goes on to tell him throughout the course of their lives together, you're going to be Peter, and I'm going to use you, specifically you. You're going to be an instrument in starting this church thing. What's a church? Are you going to find out once I leave? That's what Jesus would have said to him. It's going to be great. You're going to be a part of it. And so I want you to connect the dots. Here's Drew. Drew has an encounter with Jesus. Because of that encounter, he says, I'm going to be a bringer. Brings his brother Simon. Simon's changed. Jesus says, your name's going to be called Peter. You're going to be a rock. You're going to be tremendous. The impact's going to be great. And as you read the rest of the story, Peter follows Jesus for all these years. Peter messes up a whole bunch of times. Peter says things when he shouldn't, does things when he shouldn't, still trying to process and figure it out. He wasn't made perfect that one meeting. He was on a journey. Sees Jesus die, sees Jesus come back to life. He's one of the first people to enter the empty tomb, runs in, doesn't see a body. Then he sees Jesus rise into heaven. Then days later, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. He starts preaching the gospel. He's seeing thousands and thousands of people come to believe in the same Jesus. He's a part of the first church. Peter's the first one to save an Italian. Amen, Italians. I know I don't look it. I promise I am. On my dad's side. Right? He's the first person to talk to an Italian, Cornelius, first non-Jew hearing about Jesus comes from Peter. Then there's this man, Paul, that kind of rises up on the scene. Paul's all about the Italians, all about the people who aren't Jews. He's kind of getting a little loud. Peter has to go and say, okay, yeah, we validate your ministry. We're going to bless you and send you off. Peter's a part of this huge council that takes place. We read about it in Acts chapter 15. Kind of sets the tone that everyone can be a follower of Jesus, not just Jews. Peter was all a part of that. And that's why I say, I think you're here today because Drew decided to be a bringer. I do. I think that Drew had some kind of an impact was made. Some encounter happened. He said, I'm bringing brother Simon to meet Jesus. Jesus does a tremendous work in Peter's life. Peter goes on to be a part of starting the church, him and John. Peter validates the ministry of Paul. Paul writes most of the New Testament that you have. All those letters, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, the ones you can't pronounce, all that stuff, Paul wrote it. But he wouldn't have wrote it and passed it on if Peter didn't say, yes, your ministry is good. So we have writings and we have all these things. And it's because one guy way back when had an encounter with Jesus and said, I'm not going to let uncertainty stop me. And you really think that Drew had any idea that any of that would happen? No. He didn't know the impact. But I think he knew there'd be an impact. Because he was impacted. So when he had this experience and he had this encounter with Jesus and he saw how from 4 o'clock to whatever o'clock, things changed, he knew if God did it for me, God's going to do it for my brother. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to bring him to meet Jesus. Couldn't imagine in 2018 there'd be a church gathering talking about him. How cool is that? And so you don't know the impact someone's going to have when they come to know Jesus. New York Lotto has a saying, hey, you never know. Right? Hey, you never know. And I want to apply that to us being bringers. You never know the person you bring with you, the person you bring up about Jesus to, the impact that person is going to have for Jesus. You don't know. You don't know how they're going to change their world. But what you can believe and know is that they're going to change their world. You can believe that if an impact has been made in your life, Jesus is going to make an impact in their life. They're going to go on to make impacts in their world and connect with those people. But if we let the uncertainty and the unknown stay over here, where it's, I'm not sure if they're going to ask me a hard question. I'm not sure if they're going to say yes. I mean, I've tried to invite them so many times. Why should I keep doing it? If you keep uncertainty there, you're locking up that you never know. You're just closing the door. It's just, well, I guess we will never know. Because I'm not going to bring them. But if you can shift that uncertainty and say, you know what? True had no idea bringing his brother that day would amount to this. And you start praying and believing, I have no idea what inviting this person out is going to be like. But man, I'm doing it. There's no way I'm not. And today, if you're in this space and you're not a Christian, you're not bringing people, you're kind of on the other side, you're being brought out. That's where I say, I'm so excited for you. Because I have no idea the impact you're going to make for Jesus, but I believe you're going to make one. I believe that today you say, I want to take a step towards Jesus. I want to discover the love of God. I want to follow him. I want that story like that Peter, Simon, that guy had. I want that. I want to start following Jesus. Not going to get it all right first, second, third, 100th time, but I want to start discovering. We don't know the impact you're going to have for Jesus, but it's going to be tremendous. And you want to take that step today. There's a gray card in the chair in front of you. It says step. There's a spot that says discover Jesus. And that's you saying, you know what? I don't know the impact Jesus is going to have in my life. I don't know the impact it's going to be. But I want to find out. I want to take a step towards it. Grab this card, fill it out, check off discover Jesus. Drop it in one of those giving boxes or give it to me so this week I can celebrate with you and help you as you take more steps towards discovering Jesus. Now, Christians in this space, you're here. And you have people, you know people in your life. I know you know people that don't know Jesus. Maybe you've been praying for them for a while. Maybe when it comes that time, it's like your stomach gets a hold of your mind. It just attacks it. It's like, I'm not bringing this up. I can't do it. Here's all I want you to do this week. On your chair when you came in, there's a rhythm card. As I said earlier, part of our language here is that we want to connect people to Jesus in their normal rhythms of life. And I believe that you have a rhythm to your day, and I want to help you identify your rhythm. So I think there's three rhythms that you probably have. You wake up, you connect to people. That's through social media or in person, and you get around a table at some point, right? So that's just kind of your meal time. Now, during those three rhythms of every day, I've given you some ideas of what you can do to redeem those rhythms. This week is all about you just starting to think about bringing people. So this isn't even the card that says, okay, who are you bringing to church with you this week? That's next week, okay? So this week is just you saying, hey, I'm going to start thinking. This morning when I wake up, first thing I'm going to do is, God, help me to see potential in people today. Help me to look at them with the uncertainty of, I can't even imagine what God's going to do in them, what they're going to do when Jesus changes their life. During your day, at some point, you're connecting with people, social media, through text message in person. You say, that's someone who I could bring to church. Just write their name down. Just start writing names down. Get a list going. Use a card. These are people I could bring with me. And then when you reflect, this is more for you at home. Think, when you looked at people, you know what this looks like. Did you write them off? Was your uncertainty of like, that person needs Jesus, and I don't think I could bring them to Jesus? Like, was that where you landed? Or is it, you know what, I moved the uncertainty over, and I said, you know what, today I really lived with, man, how cool would it be if that person knew who Jesus was? How amazing will it be for their marriage, for their life, for everything they're going through, if they have a hope and a sure anchor? Man, it's going to be tremendous. The people they could reach, the networks they could have. There's a different way to navigate your day. So you have that rhythm card. I want you to take that with you. I want you to help you build some healthy rhythms this year. But just imagine, because you never know the impact someone's going to have for Jesus. Drew had no idea. This week, as we start this year, let's live with that uncertainty. Let's be unsure about the impact that people are going to have for Jesus when Jesus changes their lives. And next week's going to be really cool. You got to come back next week because I want to show you what it looks like when all of us decide to be bringers. So I'm going to use a visual you're not going to want to miss. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. But I want you to see what it looks like when all of us say, you know what, I'm going to be a bringer. I'm going to be someone who brings someone to know Jesus. So we're going to come back next week. Let's close out in prayer. Good God, we thank you for this time. We thank you that all those years ago, your son did something in Drew's life and Drew decided to be a bringer. And we thank you that because of his decision, we see the ripple effect. We can look at it, but we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what you're going to do in the lives of the people that we're going to look at this week. But God, my prayer is that we would look through the lens of uncertainty in the place of impact. That we would be so unsure of the impact people will make that it will get us excited, get us ready to bring them, get us excited and fired up to know that you're going to do something great. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the gospel message. We pray that we carry it well this week. In Jesus' name, amen.